friends for almost 30 years, and we watched ourselves go through all kinds of learning, because we knew each other before we got into the Course in Miracles, so it's been like really great to hang out together,
story.
You know. That's the advanced class. There's just a lot of love between me and Beth, for sure. And of course, my brother John Christmas back here, I've been playing his music a lot in terms of the tape that I do about the guidelines from the Course and other things. So he and I go back too. We're twin sons of different mothers. So I know we're gaming now, but we've been playing with this stuff and working with this. John and I would get together and we would read all night long, all weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we just got down deep in the Course, so that's like another brother, and not to mention Pam. Been knowing Pam about 8 years now. We met in 1996 at a workshop that I did at his sister's house.
Yeah.
And so they have had an incredible Course in Miracles marriage for quite a while. It's been a pleasure to watch the love and watch them practicing with each other and stuff. So so John, they produce records, Course in Miracles, Truth, Wonderful Records. So they're gonna sing a song to start out from Beth's new CD that they just finished doing, and that I really that I think is a beautiful song. So it'll be perfect to get us centered in before we allow ourselves to be clobbered by saying stuff. So we're gonna let Beth sing right. Okay, and I'm gonna get out the way.
GardenRoadRecords.com. If anybody likes Truth and is a musician and a singer songwriter that wants to make a CD, GardenRoadRecords.com.
Way to go.
We help you get it done.
Okay.
Where was that again?
GardenRoadRecords.com.
If anything about
Garden Road, the road home. The road home.
The road home.
Yeah.
And which is through peace. And that's what this song is, and it's about the desire for peace and the desire for more than anything else in your life to have peace, and to judge your decisions on the things that you choose based on whether or not it will bring you peace. So we are here.
Shana, 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 shana. That's great to have that kind of love as a send off. So I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Memphis for a week, and that's where I'm from. That's where all my family is. That's where I have all my third level relationships, which the course said, unlimited opportunities to learn. The family. But I'm so blessed. That's such a loving relationship with my brothers and sisters, and it's. It feels, I'm so excited about seeing them.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, getting a chance to see my son and my daughter and my grandbaby. I haven't seen her since she's like 2 or 3 months old. She's like 15 months old now or something. So I'm sure she's learning the ego's language pretty good right now.
Mine.
Yeah. She has no idea who she has for a grandfather yet. See me and my granddaughter in hip hop. Party like a big dog. I'm telling you, because I tell you, I'm just watching my body change around me. I'm still the same spirit I always was since I was a little boy.
There you go, girl.
I'm just, you know what I'm saying?
Go,
just a little boy with 55 years worth of memories. I'm telling you. So we're going to continue with what the course says, which is on page X1. What's that level? X-I. What's so cool about the Course in Miracles? We know that you just accept what you want to accept, welcome what you want to welcome, believe what you want to believe, and the rest of it, you can let it go until some other time, if at all. But I thought it would be great to go through what the overview of what the Course in Miracles says, because it really hits the main points beautifully. And we left off at the paragraph at the top of the page that says, when you have been caught in the world of perception, you are caught in a dream.
Yeah.
So when you're caught in the way that you interpret things, of course, as you're caught in a dream, you can't escape without help, because everything your senses show merely witness to the reality of the dream. So everything that we're looking at just witnesses to the reality of what we believe is true.
Yeah.
So since the Course says we're trapped in a world that's based on our judgments, it's keeping us from seeing a reality that's based on total and complete unconditional love. He says, God has provided the answer, the only way out, the true helper, is the function of God's voice, the Holy Spirit, to mediate between two worlds. So there is a voice inside of us that has the function of mediating between the world that you're making up in your own perception and the world that's based on love. And the Course says you have a voice in you called the Holy Spirit who can mediate between these two worlds, because on the one hand, that's the part of you that knows the truth. And on the other hand, it's the part that also recognizes our illusions without believing in them. So someone who's playing the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, somebody that's playing the role of real love in your life, is somebody who recognizes what it looks like you're going through, but at the same time doesn't believe in that fear and pain that you may be going through. It says the Holy Spirit's goal to help us escape from the dream world. The Course calls this a dream world because nothing here lasts. And the Course says it's our right mind, the Holy Spirit's goal to help us escape from the dream world. And it does that by teaching us how to reverse our thinking, which is the same as saying unlearn our mistakes. So to reverse my thinking is to unlearn my mistakes. So the Course then says forgiveness is the Holy Spirit's great learning aid in bringing this thought reversal about. However, the Course has its own definition of what forgiveness really is, just as the Course defines the world in its own way. So the Course in Miracles definition of forgiveness is not the same definition of forgiveness that we have, which is that we kind of overlook what we really thought somebody really did to us.
Yeah, true.
The Course says idea of forgiveness is I'm going to try my best to overlook what you really did.
Mm-hmm.
And the Course's definition of forgiveness is to get to the point that you see that nothing really happened. When you get to the point that you get a whole new perception of it, when you get a new interpretation, the Course calls forgiveness the correct interpretation. And so this next paragraph, okay, before I go to the next paragraph, I want to kind of like make sure I have what the first paragraph says. That the Course is saying that we are so caught up in the way that, in our own beliefs or the way we see things, that we can't escape from our own beliefs and the way that we see things without some help.
Right.
And that there's a part of each and every one of us that's still in touch with the Creator. And the Course is saying that part of us knows our so-called illusion or whatever it is we all freaked out about, but it's also the part of us that knows the truth about us too. And so we have a part of us that's trying to reverse our thinking and trying to unlearn our mistakes. And the Course says the way that we unlearn our mistakes is through learning what forgiveness truly is. And forgiveness, the Course says, is a correct interpretation or release. So when I forgive you, I'm interpreting you correctly. I'm perceiving you correctly. So he says the world we see merely reflects our own internal frame of reference. So that means that the world that you're looking at and the world that I'm looking at, he says, reflects the dominant ideas, wishes, and emotions in our mind. So what you're looking at and what I'm looking at and what we are experiencing every day, what we're looking at, the world you're looking at right now is a world that's reflecting your own internal, guess what, frame of reference. You're seeing your own frame of reference, which means that you're seeing the dominant ideas, the dominant wishes, and the dominant emotions in your own mind. Everything you're looking at is a reflection of the ideas, wishes, and feelings in your own mind, is what the book says. In other words, he says, I can reduce this to three words. Projection makes perception.
Yeah.
So what I'm seeing is what I'm projecting. What I'm seeing is what I'm interpreting. What I'm seeing is what I'm projecting. What I'm seeing is what I'm defining. What I'm seeing is what I'm interpreting. What I'm seeing is what I'm judging. I'm looking at you right now. I'm not really looking at you. What I am really looking at, I'm looking at my dominant ideas, wishes, and feelings. I'm not really looking at you. I'm looking at my ideas. I'm looking at my ideas about you. I'm looking at my interpretation of you. I'm looking at my judgments of you. I'm looking at what I learned. I'm not really looking at you. I'm looking at all of my labels and categories and learnings. And so I project that out on you. It's inside my, essence is my learning. It's got to be inside my mind. So I turn around and use what's in my mind to define who you are. And then I project on you my internal frame of reference. So you become wherever I think you are based on my learnings and experiences and beliefs. And that's what I see when I'm looking around this room. I'm seeing my own past learning as I look around this room. So am I really seeing you at all?
No.
Are you really seeing me at all?
No.
No, you're really just seeing what you think about me. Hopefully, it's something cool. That's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on what, yeah, it's better than what it used to be, you know.
Oh, it's much better.
I know. People used to make themselves so mad about me.
Arguments got you.
I'll tell you. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, now the Course in Miracles is going, this paragraph is a trip, so I'm going to try to go through it pretty rapidly so we can destroy the meaning of it by analyzing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
Can't walk away with a whole thought. Got to break it down. So the Course says, this is the way whatever you look at right now, what makes your world. First, we look inside first, mm-hmm. decide the kind of world we want to see, and then we project that world outside. First you look inside, decide what you want to see, then you see it. First I look inside, decide what I want to see. First I look inside, decide what I want to see, then I see it. Let's say a person came over here tonight, it's the first time they've come, and they're full of judgments about what they think it may or may not be. They may be tempted to look inside their own frame of reference, just like what the Course is saying. Then they're going to project that out, to decide how they want to see the group tonight, and then project that out on the group. And then the group becomes whatever it is you decided it was going to be, whether it's, you can say weird. Let's say you look inside and you decide the group is weird. And then all of a sudden you look out and you see this weird group of people sitting in the room. You know? Or you can look inside, decide this is some really cool people that's at least open to something new and different that are trying to join. And everybody's cool. And then I look around the room and I smile at everybody and I feel like, boy, it really feels good to be here. So one person is here and they're totally upset. The other person's here and they're feeling really good. They're both in the same room. So it's really their own predominant frame of reference, their own feelings, their own beliefs that they're looking at. What they're feeling is what they're giving themselves to feel. So that's what the Course is basically saying, that in other words, we want to make everything the truth as we see it. Just to reduce it to another sentence. I just want everything to be the way I see it. And I'm upset with other folk because they don't see it that way. Right? I want it to be the way that I see it. Okay? Because that's how I convince myself that I know what's going on, is by judging everything around me. That's how I think I know what's going on. So the Course says, that's right. You are living in a world of your judgments. But there's a real world beyond your judgments. There's something that exists beyond your perceptions, my perceptions. When I say you, I'm talking about me too. Because this class is first and foremost for me. You know, that's why I teach best what you most need to learn. That's what you have the most enthusiasm about. And I really need to learn how to see differently. Well, if this is true, if I can learn how to see differently, then I can have an entirely brand new experience of the world, unlike anything I've ever had before. And what I love about it the most is that it doesn't involve changing anybody in this room, getting anybody in this room to agree with me, or getting anybody in this room to be any kind of way whatsoever. Hallelujah, I'm free. Really, that's the spiritual path I want to be on. I want to be on a spiritual path that requires as little cooperation from any of you as possible.
Because you know you aren't
going to get it. Because you know you're not going to get it, Lord. So really, I'm as sincere as I can be about that.
Yeah,
I'm sincere.
Exactly.
Every time I feel myself getting ready to make my happiness dependent on what someone else says or does, I try my darndest to catch myself. Because I do not want my happiness dependent on trying to get anybody around me to accept me, understand me, change me, or anything about me. I want to be totally, it's like, because the only person's mind that I can remotely change is my own. I'm on a path that's telling me all I have to do is change my mind and allow my own mind to be healed. That sounds like an easier path than the one that I used to do and the one that I see most people around me still doing, which is, if I can change this thing out here, this person out here, then I'm going to feel good. Everything's going to be all right. So they go into classes, not to hear the truth for themselves, but for somebody else they're trying to change. So then it becomes, how can I get my mama to hear this? my boyfriend and my girlfriend, especially my daughter, who's not realizing that they didn't come to the class, so they're going to basically be the same person they were before you came here. And so if you come to the class expecting the people around you to change as a result, then you get disappointed the next time you're with them and you say this stuff doesn't work because you came to the class and everything is still the same. But you came to the class to get a new way for you to look at it. So you're the one that came to the class, so you're the one that's got to look at them different when you go home in order for you to have peace. That's the hard part, you know, because I really wanted to just transfer where I came to the class and now my brother's acting cool. Right? And the course is saying the weird part about it is that if I realize that that my projection is making my perception and what I'm seeing is my own dominant wishes and feelings and ideas and judgments, then all I have to do is change the way I'm looking at things, which will change the way that I feel, which will change my physical experience. Because you got to think it, then you got to feel it, then it manifests.
Yeah.
You know, that's why the stuff that the attack and the painful stuff seem like it manifests faster than the cool stuff is because we go into immediate agreement with the uncool stuff, and then we totally suspect of the new cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you really can't trust people. Huh, John, you're right. See, we went right into agreement with that, therefore created it. But then if I said something like everybody has an inherent innocence and sinlessness and guiltlessness that can never be affected by anything, that you have a perfection and a beauty about you that's unstoppable, that you're just frankly awesome, then you might go, I don't know about that. See, I didn't go into agreement with that, but I totally went into agreement about everybody, you know, being suspicious, suspect. So, of course, that's why it seems like the painful stuff happens quicker than the loving stuff. The loving stuff we doubt, the painful stuff we say that's life. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any resistance to it. We are creators. We go into agreement with the idea, and the course says everything is created through a joining, and that you always do whatever your advisor tells you. And that your advisor is either going to tell you to attack or is going to tell you to go for peace. And then whichever one you side with, that's the one you have the physical experience of. And most of us are used to siding with the part of us that says, get upset, attack. Mm-hmm. And so we have so much attack around us and we wonder where it comes from. We're in a world that's based on the idea of separation. So it's really wild. So it says here, he says, I love it. He says, we're going to make it the truth as we see it. Then it says, we make it true by our interpretations of what it is we are seeing. So how do I make it true? I make it true by my interpretation of what I'm seeing. So if we are using our perception to justify our own mistakes, if we're using our perception to justify our own anger, if we're using our perception to justify our own impulses to attack, if we're using our perception to justify our lack of love in whatever form it may take, you can tell if you're doing that because you're going to be looking at a world that looks like there is evil in it, destruction in it, malice in it, envy in it, and despair in it. So, based on what I just read, I must be using my perception to justify my own mistakes. So I'm willing to admit I'm using my perception to justify my own mistakes. And since I'm using my interpretations to justify my own mistakes, I'm looking at a world that looks like there's some destruction in it and some despair in it and some pain in it. Because I'm trying to justify my own errors. So he says, all this we must learn to forgive, not because we're being good, not because we're being charitable, but because we need to forgive it, because what we're seeing is not true. We're the ones who have distorted the world by our twisted defenses. And since we got so much defensiveness, the book says we're seeing what's not there. We're so defensive that all we see is what justifies fear. And so the course then says, as we learn to recognize our perceptual errors, we can also learn to look past them. So forgiveness is you looking past your own mistakes and the way you are interpreting what's going on. Forgiveness is you looking past your own mistakes and your own interpretations of what's going on. So to forgive means to look past, and forgive means to overlook your own mistakes. So to forgive means to overlook your own mistakes, to look past your own errors. So if I'm going to forgive myself, I've got to look past my own perceptual errors. Then it says, at the same time we are forgiving ourselves, that means we're looking past our distorted self-concepts to the self that God created in us and as us. I'll say it again. When you forgive yourself, you're looking past your own distorted self-concepts to the self that God created in you and as you. So if I forgive you, I'm looking past, not to say I don't like you, Steve, but if I forgive you, I'm looking past my own distorted concept of you, which is I don't like you, And I'm looking to the love and the real you that's beyond my own judgment about who you are. So to forgive you is to look past my own perceptual errors. To forgive you is to look past my own distorted concept about who you are. To realize that you are more than what I'm making you up to be in my mind. And by the way, I don't like you because you're not acting out some script that I made up in my mind that you should be acting out for me. That's why I don't like you. You're not acting the way I think you should. And if you act the way I think you should, I'd be glad to like you. Right? And that's pretty much the game we play. We get real. Yeah, I love you as long as you do what I want you to do. The way I want you to do it. Yeah. If you don't do it the way I want you to do it, I'm snatching my love back. That's to it. It's a loan. And you wish there was more interest. Yeah, it's a loan where I wish there were more interest. Yeah, your love is a loan that I wish had a lot more interest it was paying. Like your interest. You know, I like to have your interest. Okay? I was not put on earth to act out your fantasies. I was not put on earth to act out your dream about what I was meant to be for the role you set me up to be in the way you planned your life to be. Certainly, and you didn't even contact me to see if I even wanted to come. Then you get mad at me for not acting out a role. You didn't even check with me to see if I wanted to act out in the first place.
Didn't ask.
Isn't that amazing? Didn't even ask you.
Didn't ask.
You know, you decided I'm supposed to be the one to make you happy. Did you ask me if I want to be the one to make you happy?
No.
So now I've got to forgive you. See, which means I got to learn how to look past my own distorted concept, which is that you're here to act out my script so I can look to who you really are, which is a free being that's here to express your own reality. And I'm here to do nothing to interfere with that. I'm here to support you and to provide a safe place for who you really are to express itself. That's what I'm really here for, is to remind you that you're innocent and that you are loved. I'm not here to get you to act out what I want you to do for me. I'm here to support you being whoever you are so that you can constantly, endlessly, really just enchant me and thrill me by always revealing some new aspect of yourself that I wouldn't have ever seen had I tried to make you act out my script. Because my script is pretty old. I give the same script to everybody, so I pretty much have the same experience. Everybody I meet, I basically have the same experience because I'm handing everybody the same script. That's why you can have cats playing in New York, cats playing in Dallas, cats playing in L.A. Why? It's the same script they're giving to all the actors.
Yeah.
And you've been giving the same script to all the actors in your life, and that's why you've been having the same experiences in all your relationships. You need to end your road show. Your touring company needs to be called in. Mine too, do an incredible rewrite. Let the part of me that loves me start writing the script. And stop letting the part of me that's afraid playing my life for me. Based on total defensiveness all the time, as if everybody out there is out to get me. So I gotta distrust everybody around me so that they don't hurt me.
Yeah.
And so that's my predominant idea, so that becomes my predominant experience, and that becomes my predominant perception. And forgiveness is me learning to look past the distorted perceptions and interpretations that I've given myself to the truth that's in you and the truth that's in me. I want to forgive you. I want to see you beyond the way I'm making you up in my mind. And then there's another part of my mind that'll point out everything you've ever done to justify my suspicion. Mm-hmm. Or my ego. It's the part of me that wants me to believe every nasty thing about you that I can possibly come up with, because allows me to stay separate from you. And if I can stay separate from you, then I never really have to open up, join, love, be vulnerable, and be real. So I can walk around saying I want to love everybody, but nobody has passed my test yet. But as soon as somebody does, I'm going to be the most loving person anybody has ever seen. As soon as I find some doggone people who deserve my love.
Yeah.
So I'm still looking. And you should be honest with yourself if you are really a scary person and a person that's full of fear and suspicion and guilt, your love isn't such a prize. So you really ought to stop trying to make people work so hard for something that's not really too much.
Uh-huh.
I think it's ridiculous how hard I used to make people work to get my dysfunctional love. It was horrible. You know, I didn't even know how to love. I was always making everybody work for it. And I didn't even know what to do if they really showed up. I'm so scary based on what I went through when I was totally crazy. See, you know, what you're going to attract to you now is coming from what you're focusing on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you obviously are focusing on more love, more truth, more light, being more awake. But you wouldn't even be sitting here if some part of you did not want to move toward a greater state of consciousness. So you're not going to repeat your past if you would be who you are now. And remember that the person that you're meeting is not the person you were with, even if it's the same person. Because you're not.
Yeah, that's good.
So I don't want to get all of this relationship stuff, but I really want us to understand that we're not who we were. We're not who we think we are. That we're more glorious and more grand and more powerful than we can imagine. And we need to come together to hear that as much as we come together to hear all that other stuff.
Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Bunny. You know, I got some witnesses around me. I know I'm changing my mind. All I can do is open my eyes, because you wouldn't even be sitting here if I hadn't changed my mind. I wouldn't even have drawn you to you, and you certainly wouldn't have drawn me to you. So we're the living proof that we have a garden in our mind. We got some new thought plants that are trying to grow. We got some ideas that need to be shared so they become stronger.
Yes.
The Course says that's how you make an idea strong, is that you share it. And so the more of us that share the same ideas, the stronger those ideas will become, and then those ideas will manifest faster. And the idea I'm talking about is the idea of our innocence, the idea of our power, the idea of our freedom, the idea that we deserve to be happy, the idea that we deserve love. That's the kind of idea. That doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you believe it. Your belief has nothing to do with the truth. That's what's so cool about the truth. The truth is true whether you believe it or not. That's the way you want to go. You want to go for the stuff that's going to be there regardless of how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't change the way I see things, the love could be all around me and I never would recognize it, and I could have everything I wanted and it would be right in my face and I wouldn't even see it.
Yeah.
So that's why we're working on our interpretations and perceptions, so that we can recognize the love that we're asking for when it arrives. So that it won't be right there and I just don't even see it, because I don't see it in myself, because I'm not going to see it in you until I see it in myself. So if you see something cool in me, you're looking at a direct reflection of a thought in your own mind.
So it's a willingness to accept that in yourself.
So that you can enjoy it. So you can enjoy what's already there. You know what I'm saying? It's like having a refrigerator full of food and starving to death. It's there, but you got to open it up and go in the refrigerator and eat. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're doing. You know, we're starving to death, and there's food all around us because we don't see the food, because we haven't been taught to see the food. We've been taught to see the fear. I've been taught to fear.
And that's the only way that you can enjoy it out there. It's in here.
It won't even be out there. It's like it won't be out there until it's in here, according to the Course. Yeah, it says what happens. What's really interesting is that the Course says most people are aware of what they don't want. They want. You ask the person what they want, they have a hard time. But they'll say stuff like, let's go out to dinner, and they'll say, I don't want to go here, and I don't want to go there, and I don't want to eat over here, and I don't want to go there. And that's not the same as saying what you want. So the Course is saying the world is made up of what we don't want, projected out of our own minds because we are afraid of it, and then we meet it. And that's why it looks like you run into in the world the very thing sometimes you say you don't want to have happen to you.
Yeah.
It's because you're constantly projecting it out into the world and saying it's not a reflection of your own thoughts.
That's really
good. Yeah. So I know that's deep in there. But the same thing is true about all the beautiful, wonderful, cool stuff. You know, it's like that means if somebody really treated you right today, and you experienced some love, but things been going pretty good, and you having more sanity, and you're giving yourself more peace, then that's coming from inside your mind too. You know, you need to pat yourself on the back because you know you're not treating yourself the way you used to. That you're loving yourself more than you used to love yourself. You're getting the physical results of changing your mind. Already, it's there too. We need to acknowledge that about ourselves.
There's no
more,
way that I'm going to admit that my kind of day was in my mind. When I first went to work, someone moved my blue ball.
Uh-oh.
And I know you don't want to bad messing with your balls.
Yeah. By God, I went off. There's my blue one. And I went off, and it was like downhill from there on.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't see one piece of love.
Right, and that, you said the key word, you couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you looked inside, decided you were mad, and then you saw things to be mad about.
And then I just kept making more stuff, making me mad.
There you
all
go.
Day
yeah,
long.
There you go. All day long.
In fact, I'm
all
pissed off right now. Go, Judy.
Well, none of us have ever done that.
No, we're doing it. We got just taking everything we got right now, not to levitate in this whole room. I tell you, if gas being $2.40 a gallon,
yeah.
I'm learning how to levitate.
There you go.
I've been motivated. The world has motivated me to learn how to levitate and bilocate and teleport and everything else. This room is serious. This is a serious room. Okay, so any questions about those two paragraphs, anything, any ahas, anything anybody want to share? You don't have to agree with me. That's perfectly okay, and I promise you I won't try to convince you to side with my way of seeing things. But it's okay to ask questions or to make a point.
I really don't see how you could have said it any clearer.
Well, if there's a clear way to say it, I'd like Spirit to give it to me. I'm always open for improvement. Because I'm ready to be completely happy from within.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty easy to manifest.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but the challenge is enjoying what you manifest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because we've been taught so carefully that we don't have a right to joy.
Yeah,
we don't have a right to happiness. We don't have a right to say, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As part of the truth, the universe, the God, quote unquote, that exists within us. And, you know, from an intellectual standpoint, to me, it's a little bit confounding that we are so really focused on everything that is negative and everything that is quote wrong and feel good as a result of trying to fix it and frustrate when we don't.
Check it out. That's why you say it. It justifies our own mistakes. See, if it's a mistake for me to attack you, if I can come up with justifications for doing that, then it justifies my error, which is to attack you. That is my error. It's to judge you, attack you, want to hurt you. So I've got to have a perception that would justify that. So I've got to look at the part of you that would justify my being upset with you.
Wow.
I've got to see the part of you that justifies my anger. So if I want to be mad, I've got to see something to be mad about. So really, he's saying all of this pain that I see is me trying to justify my own mistake, which is to not love myself.
And to think of the amount of energy it takes to support such a convoluted argument.
Which explains death.
What?
Which explains death and sickness and fatigue and pain and all this. The course, that's what the course says. All of it. She says that what we call depression and upset and tired and all that stuff is nothing but the strain of denying the truth all day. Mm-hmm. It's such a strain to not let yourself be loved. It's such a strain to deny the truth. Exactly. That's what you're right. You know, so it's really easy to just relax and trust, but it's hard being on guard all the time.
But
yeah.
We opt for that.
Yeah,
yeah, we do.
Yeah, we opt for that. Absolutely, because we see justification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We see justification. Our past, it justifies it.
So, Earl, I recently had gained this really wonderful new friend, and as we got more and more intimate, I shared some dark stuff about myself,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote dark,
mm-hmm.
whatever that means.
Yeah.
And this friend decided they didn't want to be my friend.
Right.
Okay. Because they're taking care of themselves
mm-hmm.
by not being
okay.
in my situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you just talk to that? I think it's along the lines of...
Well, you know, rejection is protection and reconnection.
Well, yeah, okay. But it hit her.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it didn't hurt, but it sometimes the truth hurts. One of the biggest challenges I feel with the Course in Miracles and with growing spiritually is that we expect to feel good every step of the way. And unless we can let ourselves not feel good all the time, we're not going to be able to handle the truth that's going to be revealed to us. Until we learn how to really appreciate it. Like, you save yourself a lot of time by that person revealing to you at the very beginning.
Yeah.
To me, I wish more people in my life would be as honest as that person was with you. It would save me a lot of pain and a lot of time. So actually, that person was being much more loving than somebody who would have sacrificed.
So I can't get to go try to fix myself.
Which is good. Which is the whole point of the whole thing. It's for you. But you don't know it.
Yeah, you learned. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Oh, you wouldn't have been sad to begin with.
Help me come to know it.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been sad in the first place if you really knew who you really were. So the mere fact that you were upset meant that you didn't know. And the fact that the person who wasn't willing to be in that role of a helper chose out of the relationship at the very beginning was a very loving thing to do. I wish more people in my life would do that. I wish they would just be straight up about where they are. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, and if dealing with me is not something they want to do, then they just let me know. Rather than sacrifice, build up a lot of resentments, and then attack you and disappear when you least expect it. And then you really are hurt because you would have been on the illusion that you really had this really deep relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So part of you loving yourself more is that you don't draw to you the situations that you're used to that would be so long with you going through that illusion before it was revealed. That's one of the side effects of your spiritual growth, is that anything that's not real in your life will reveal itself faster to save you time. See, because the name of the game is to save time. But then we get hurt, you know, we get hurt because we got these feelings that, you know, the projection that I need somebody else to make me okay. So I needed that person to say they were going to stay with me forever, you know. But that's like a residue of an old self that you're no longer feeding. Because now you're getting in touch with your own ability to connect spirit, connect with spirit for yourself. So you have to be gentle with your residue. You have to be gentle be gentle with that old you that's fading away, because it's still going to pop up from time to time, and it's going to act crazy and do the same old stuff it used to do. But it's fading. Understand it's fading away because now you're focusing on the truth on your own. So it's no way those old patterns are going to last when now that you've chosen the truth.
And I think on some level I knew this was going to happen.
Of course you did. You telephathically shot the message for me to get up. You know, that's a whole other level though. You know, we don't realize we're in constant telephathic communication with each other at the subconscious level, telling each other to tell each other what we tell each other. So, you know, it takes a minute to really get the people are saying to you what you ordered them to. And so that you can learn how to not lose your center no matter what's coming at you from the outer. And how's that going to happen unless some things are coming at you that you don't necessarily want to hear? So that you can see whether you still believe it or not by how you respond. So you're giving it power if the person says something that upsets you. But if you know you're fine, and you know you're innocent, and you know you're loved, and you know you're strong, and you know you're all right, then there's nothing you can tell me that's going to pull me off my center, because I know I'm all right. It's a state of being.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to reach a point where no one can affect you in a negative way, because you simply wouldn't choose to feel that way, because all of a sudden you realize your feelings are your choice. And if you're the one that's deciding whether or not that person's going to upset you or not. And once you get in touch with that kind of power, then all of a sudden that whole idea of having inner peace or total peace doesn't seem like it's such an abstract fantasy. The ones you understand that it's your interpretations that's creating your reactions, and it's your interpretation that's making you feel what you feel, you start to get a glimmering of the idea that, you know what, I can actually control my emotions. I can actually choose what I'm going to let affect me. Some things are so deeply programmed in terms of how much we use that thought that we have an instantaneous reaction before we can help ourselves. But that's okay. Those you're going to naturally get around to wiping those out too. But at the beginning, you need to give yourself credit for every little time you don't get upset the way you used to about something, even if it's just a little teeny weeny 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 bit. Don't start with the hardest person. Don't start with the hardest situation to forgive. Put the person you hate the most at the end of the line.
Yes.
Put the person that gives you the hardest time. They usually become the first person everybody want to forgive. The person that feels wrong them the most. And that should be the last person you forgive, which is pretty much is the way it ends up.
Yeah.
They end up being the last one anyway. Mm-hmm. So you just want to put them there at the very beginning to save yourself some time.
Yeah.
You know, you can become so happy you won't hold on to a grievance simply because you don't have time to even keep that stuff going in your mind, which is deep.
Yeah.
Which is really deep.
Thank you, Earl.
You hear what I'm saying? That's deep.
Yes,
that, you know,
exactly.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that us realizing this together for ourselves. So, then this next paragraph. I'm gonna hit one more before I'm gonna have my brother John is gonna close tonight singing one of my favorite songs from his CD, which is "I Am Not a Victim of the World I See." That's such a cool song. Straight from the Course in Miracles workbook lesson. So I am not a victim of the world I see. I'm telling you. Okay. It says now, so when you hear the word sin, the Course says sin is defined as lack of love. Since love is all there is, sin, or the idea of sin in the sight of the Holy Spirit, which is our right mind, sin is just a mistake to be corrected rather than an evil to be punished. It's a mistake to be corrected rather than an evil to be punished. It's a mistake to be corrected rather than an evil to be punished. Our sense of inadequacy, weakness, and incompletion, comes from the strong investment we have in the scarcity principle. So the word of the Course says, this is the principle that governs this whole world, the idea that there is scarcity, the idea that you can lose. Okay, then it says, from that point of view, we seek in others, since we think there's not enough, we seek in others what we feel is wanting in ourselves. So we're seeking in others what we feel like we don't have. So we love, with the parentheses, we love that. We love another in order to get something ourselves. That's why I chose you instead of you. That's why I picked you out. Because you're the one that I think can fulfill this need that I have. Then why else would I choose you over anybody else? That's why I chose you over anybody else, because you are the one that's going to give me what nobody else before you ever did. I know, isn't that a trip? If you knew that was what the deal was, he'd be running for the door, wouldn't he? You know what I'm saying?
What time is dysfunctional love?
Yeah. And what's so cool, though, if you do choose to get in a relationship with a person, the Course in Miracles says let that person represent all people.
Yeah.
That way you can have that relationship with one individual and at the same time not limit yourself. And said, you know, everything that I'm learning, I'm going to practice on this person. All these lessons in love, I'm going to practice on this person. This is the person that I'm going to practice everything the Course in Miracles is teaching me. I'm going to practice on this person. I'm not going to even try to practice on anybody else right now. This is my main person. So my main person means this is the one I got to practice the truth with the most. That's what being special means. You're the one that I'm going to practice the truth with the most. You are my special one. And that would be cool if you were really going to give them something real. They would be like totally blessed if you really said, oh, really? Okay, so you're the one I'm going to really try to see your innocence. You're the one I'm going to really try to remind that you're free. You're the one I'm going to really try to remind that you love. You're the one that I'm going to see if I can support you in every way I can for the things that you want to do that is moving you to a greater love and truth. You're the one that I'm going to practice me taking responsibility for what I experienced with. You're the one that I'm going to practice this stuff I'm reading in this book on. I can't practice on everybody else, but you're my special friend. You're my special partner. You're my special. So you are the one that gets more forgiveness than anybody else on the face of the earth. You're the one that's going to get as much of the love of God that I can let come through me than anybody else, because you're special to me. So that way you can have a traditional monogamous relationship and still practice all the truth, the greater truth principles you could ever hope to practice. But it's usually that special person that we have the most grievances with, because they're the ones that we expect to fulfill that need that it was just saying from that scarcity principle. And so we're looking to get something from them, and we're upset because we're not getting what we're supposed to be getting from them. And he says trying to get something is what passes for love in this dream world. He said there can be no greater mistake than that, because love is incapable of asking for anything.
Wow,
it's
right.
Love, true love is about extension. Mm-hmm. True love is about joining. True love is about connecting. It's about one whole person joining with another person that's just as whole, so they can share their wholeness together, share their peace together. So that's where you're headed. You're headed into a reality where you are going to have people in your life that they want to practice being more loving with you than they've ever practiced anybody else, being more sane with you than they've ever been with anybody else, more nurturing with you than they've ever been with anybody else, more patient with you than they've ever been. You're going to draw people who want to use you to take them home.
Yes.
by giving you everything that they themselves would also love to receive, because they know giving is asking in universal law. Woo. To give is to ask, and whatever you give is what you're going to receive. So saying you want something doesn't mean anything, but giving it is truly asking for it, and giving it is truly what's going to come to you. And the Course says it comes to you in the form that's best for you in the way you need it now, which is the only way I want it. I want it the way I need it now.
That is such good news.
Yes, it's okay. It's okay. It's not me. You're not building my ego up. This is the truth. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, really. I mean, I mean, we should praise the truth the way we praise the basketball teams and the football teams and all the other stuff that everybody gets excited about.
Yeah.
We should get just excited about ourselves. It's amazing how many people expect people to get excited about them and they don't even have any excitement about themselves.
Yeah.
But they expect everybody to jump up and down when they see them come in the door, but they don't even think before they smile at you.
No.
And they're like waiting for everybody to rush to them and say, well, let's go out for coffee. Let's go out after the thing. There's nothing about your outer persona that's the least bit inviting. But you'd be waiting for someone to come grab you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The person is not going too quick to walk up to nobody that's looking like this.
Oh, God, Earl.
I don't understand why I go to all these meetings and I never meet anybody. Nobody ever reaches out to me. You look like you're a sadistic killer. You know, you're in a world where everyone that's not conscious is judging by appearance.
Yeah.
You're in a world where appearance is everything. And so if you're in a world where appearance is everything, why don't you just work both ends against the middle? Why don't you change your mind and become more loving on the inside and project outwardly as open and loving the persona you can possibly project? That way you got the whole thing covered. You got the whole thing covered.
Yeah.
You know, you got it covered. You know, because I don't care how you think you look. If you smile sincerely, you'll become beautiful to whoever's looking at you.
Yes.
That's so simple, become beautiful. Just sincerely be grateful. It's going to trigger a real smile or a real open and warm energy. And you watch your whole experience transform right before you. You know, look inside, decide what you want to see, and then the Course says you project it out and then you see it. So tonight, if you just look inside, and decide what you want to see in yourself, you would have taken the first step toward being in a world where you're being surrounded by. All you have to do tonight is just decide what you want to see. Don't try to worry about how you're going to see it, because how is none of your business. How is none of your business, of course, but what you want is. That's what,
cool.
What you want, that is our business. So I would choose for everybody. I leave everybody in here with like a constant, eternal, ever-expanding joy that never ends in various forms at all times and just the way they need it. Okay. Now, since it's the truth about us, then whether we believe it or not has nothing to do with anything other than how soon you see it.
Because John said,
you know, but that's the truth. That's the truth. It's in us. And if you heard me say it, it must be some part of you that believe it's there. You never would have manifested me. You know, I'm your black loving father. You have a little diversity in your love, father. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to stop here now. And then we're going to have this song. And we're going to do, I really appreciate you sharing with me. I do the Course in Miracles full time in the world. I decided that's what I wanted to do for a living period out. That's my function. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for the support of Unity Temple. Thank you for coming to the church when you do. This is a beautiful space the Spirit has provided. And I really, really appreciate everything that you give at every level. Every level. So I'm going to do that. And as I do that, there's a couple of things I want to tell you while we're doing that for announcements.
Earl, thank you for keep hanging in there with us.
This is my greatest joy. Really. Especially before I go home, because I have one purpose for going home. I want to be a channel for as much love that can possibly come through me to my family.
Yeah,
cool.
That's my goal. Not to judge them, not to try to figure out what to do, but just to see how much love can come through me to my family. That's my goal. So thank you for sharing.
I'd like to suggest that we all send that energy to Earl on the trip, the energy of what he's doing, that he wanted to manifest. Mm-hmm. Just feel it in our hearts and send it to him.
Yeah, thank you.
Along with the incredible gratitude and love that we all have for him. Just take a moment, just breathe it into him.
Thank you, Mary. It's beautiful.
See, that's a receiving test.
Yeah.
That's a receiving test. What you just said was a big receiving test. For me to just, okay, I deserve that. That's okay. It's all right for her to say that. You know, you don't have to feel weird. You can't be embarrassed. You know, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, you know, my capacity to receive needs improvement.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Dima? It's better now. I'm putting myself down, but I'm going to tell you, I keep hearing that I deserve a lot more than I'm willing to let myself have. Anybody else?
Yeah.
You hear the same thing? I got a special treat for you next week in my three classes that's coming up. I love my perception.
Yeah.
My perception is so much better than it was at one time in my life, let me tell you.
Yeah.
The only thing, I kind of noticed that there was this one common denominator in every situation I was in, and it was me. I couldn't get around that. You know, it's like, I was always there. Like I try to say every class, just well be yourself, because all the other places are taken. You just want to be yourself because all the other places are taken. So, John, would you be willing to tell us we are not victims of the world we see?
Sing to us, baby.
I love you, buddy. You're so alive.
I know. I'm
so alive.
So I love that.
I love that.
You must be here. Can I get up here too, Judy?
Hell
no.
Yeah.
You can do it.
We're not married.
That's okay. I'm going to give up the love. All absolutely. Right. As a matter of fact, there's another one on the way.
Yeah, cool.
So be interested to see what that karmic relationship is like. You know. Okay, so I appreciate y'all. Thank you for being in my dream. And may the course be with you.